First Citizens Bank to the rescue. From Marketplace, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer, in for David Brancaccio. North Carolina-based First Citizens Bank has agreed to take over much of what was once Silicon Valley Bank, which collapsed just over 2 weeks ago and set off a banking crisis. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with the details. Hi, Nova.
Good morning.
So, Nova, walk us through the details of this transaction.
Okay. First Citizens Bank purchased about $72 billion worth of loans held by Silicon Valley Bank, and it assumed control of $56 billion in deposits. So that's the total amount of money customers actually have in their accounts at Silicon Valley Bank. What First Citizens did not purchase is what regulators say are about $90 billion in securities and other assets. And so that would include bond holdings, which lost value. That's one of the main reasons Silicon Valley Bank collapsed.
So does this purchase help stabilize the banking situation?
Well, regulators sure hope so. We had Minneapolis Federal Reserve President Neel Kashkari on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday, echoing the same reassuring words that we've heard from Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, saying that the banking system is in good shape. But the genie is out of the bottle to a certain extent. Bank deposits are reportedly leaving smaller institutions. The concern is that that can cause a widespread credit crunch if it continues, and a credit crunch would slow the economy. Kashkari said Fed policymakers are monitoring to spot that kind of phenomenon if it develops.
Nova Safo, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in less than a 1% of future. The future of the Dow is up 87 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 3.46%. A couple of companies have now recalled eye drops linked to a bacterial infection. The infection caused death, blindness, or the loss of an eye in a number of people. To be clear, only certain brands are affected. But how does a recall affect companies that make similar products, whether it's eye drops, baby formula, food, or cars? Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
Every recall is different.
The impact of the recall just really depends on the size and severity of it.
Garrett Nelson at CFRA Research says big recalls that get a lot of attention can spill over and affect other brands that make similar products. Take the Volkswagen recall of 2015, when it came out that the company's diesel cars violated emission standards and that VW had been covering it up.
That recall had a major spillover effect to other German automakers, such as BMW and Mercedes-Benz. And I've seen estimates ranging from $5 billion all the way to about $26 billion in terms of the cumulative impact of lost sales.
But sometimes the opposite can happen, and competing brands can actually benefit when one company has a recall, says Caroline Harrell at Inmar Intelligence.
When a recall does hit and those items are pulled from the shelf, the ones that stay, they'll see kind of a spike in sales.
It also depends on how much consumers get about what went wrong, says David Garfield at Alex Partners.
If the nature of the recall, the reason for it, and the scope of it is clear, then consumers will understand that and isolate the recall to those brands.
But if it's not clear, he says, they're more likely to start worrying about other brands too. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Over the weekend, Twitter revealed some of its source code had been leaked online. The social media giant is taking legal action to identify the leaker. On Friday, Musk told employees Twitter was worth roughly $20 billion. That's down more than 50% from what he paid for it. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen made some waves on Capitol Hill this week, talking about the government's decision to cover uninsured deposits after the collapses of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. On Thursday, Yellen said the department is, quote, prepared to take additional actions if warranted. The bank failures have focused regulators and policymakers on the risk of contagion, and that risk has prompted some small business owners to think about their own bank accounts. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
The Monday after Signature Bank collapsed a couple weekends ago, staff at LaSalle State Bank in Illinois pulled up a list of their largest depositors.
We started making phone calls to them to see if they had any questions that we could address.
Chris Duncan is the bank's chief lending officer.
To reassure them that our situation is holistically different than the situation of some of the banks that were struggling.
Duncan says the message was that the bank still has plenty of deposits on its balance sheet.
If we can explain that there really is not anything to fear in the banking industry today, if we can get that message out there, I'm hoping that people's fears of a liquidity crisis will subside.
Banks need to hang on to their customers' deposits so they can keep making loans. Nate Tobik, the founder of Complete Bank Data, says smaller banks play a vital role in supporting local economies. Look at what they did when the Paycheck Protection Program rolled out early in the pandemic.
The small banks were able to get that up and running and help customers right away. They're really the backbone of communities.
Even so, Tobik says he's planning to open a new account for his business at a bigger institution. He says that's because history has shown that the government's willing to save bigger banks that it considers too big to fail.
The government has essentially said your money is guaranteed there, whereas at some of these smaller banks, that does not seem to be the case.
Other business owners say they're sticking with bigger banks because they tend to have more sophisticated technology. Jackie London runs a public health consultancy.
Now, obviously, having an app that's really easily accessible, it's very easy to log in. I'm able to see how much money's in there, in which accounts.
London says she started banking with a bigger institution before the pandemic, and she's planning to keep her money there, in large part because she can quickly and easily move it around.
When you go into business for yourself, the hard part comes from being the owner. The easy part should be where and how you access your money.
And London says the recent bank failures have shown that having easy access to your money is important. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
The General Counsel of the National Labor Relations Board issued a memo last week. The memo was clarifying the scope of a February ruling. The new rule says that all non-disparagement clauses in severance agreements are now null and void. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.